Blog Talk Radio.
Skype to talk, dial in. Right, can't check. Not ready.
We'll be right back.
low down and dirty. Presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lowdown and Dirty. We definitely do apologize to you for the delay here in the beginning. We've been having some technical issues once again.
Because we don't know what we're doing.
Beating us up a little bit. No, we don't. We have no clue. We have a couple special guests in-house here tonight. Our good buddy, Mr. Bounce Heimbach, a.k.a. the Grill on the Hill.
Little baby Bounce.
Baby Bubba Bounce. He was kind enough to bring some food down here for us tonight and feed us. So we thank him and his lovely wife, Jen, very, very much for that. And now I'm currently seeking sponsorship from either Jenny Craig or SlimFast, thanks to them. So we're fed very well. We thank them very much. So how was your weekend, Whip?
Pretty good. Until we got here.
This technical stuff got me insane. Yeah, it turned into a big pile of suck for us, but we'll have to make it.
We'll get it.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll try to make it as entertaining as humanly possible. Hey, we do have Billy Pouch Jr. on tonight, and we're going to talk to Billy and get his lowdown and dirty on what he's got going on for the 2013 season. He's got a lot of exciting things coming up. But before we get to Billy, Whip, did you see what's going on up at the Big Diamond Speedway?
The Big Diamond, a.k.a. the Mecca of Mud, is running some big box shows.
Yes, they are.
So that ought to be good, and I'm glad to see the big box. I just hope the big box support it.
Yes, we need to get everybody up there and support this year. It is going to be a 40-lap event paying $7,500 to win, $500 to take the green.
That's big money for 40 laps.
Great money. And you know what else is cool? Any American racer or Hoosier tire will be allowed for that.
Well, that means the dirt boys can come down because, you know, they don't run, you know, they run them Hoosiers, so.
There you have it.
So that's, there's no reason why they can't come down now.
Exactly. Yeah, they're going to have this show, let's see here, Friday, April 5th.
Friday, April 5th.
Uh-huh. Starting out early in the season, getting this done here.
Well, if the weather's, you know, been nice, I mean, we could run then, you know. Let's just hope we get good weather because that's what it comes right down to.
Yeah, we got to get this show in because, you know, and I didn't mention this before, and I do apologize for that. It's a combined big block, small block, modified event.
Ooh,
so run either or.
So that's not a point, though, is it? Is there points?
It is
start?
A non-point race, which is way cool also.
Okay. That's a good move then.
Very smart thinking on behalf of the Big Diamond Speedway organizers right there.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. What else you got for us, Whip? Anything good?
No, not really. I just been laying low. I mean, just kind of jacked up to get ready to talk to Billy Pouch Jr. I mean, I watched this kid grow up in diapers, and now he's in Victory Lane. You know, it's kind of amazing. You know? Caught you there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. Billy's always a great interview. Very much looking forward to him and seeing what he's got going on. He's got a lot of things cooking. This is a very busy young man.
Yeah, I mean, I think, if I'm correct, Bobby Barron will now be driving the Atlas 66 now at Middletown, New York on Saturday nights is what I'm
good
hearing.
Good for Bobby.
Yep.
Cool.
So that's good. That's a good ride for him, you know. And Middletown, good probably track for Bobby Barron. So, you know, we'll hopefully it works out good for him. I mean, you know, Fauci's, you know, he's going to tell us what he's doing. So,
well, I tell you what, let's not hesitate here. It is my understanding that Mr. Billy Pouch Jr. is on the line right now. So let's get Billy in here and see what he's got cooking.
Yo,
what's
Billy?
Going on, Joey?
Hey, Billy, how are you, bud?
Doing very good today. Where's the old Whippy?
He's right here. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? There's two of a kind.
Yeah, how about it? Yeah, we're referred to as Dick and Les Broadcasting.
Nice. The dynamic duo.
Yeah. Yeah, at least we're not the masters of the masters of misfortune.
Yeah, that's true. The minister of misinformation.
You guys got names for everyone.
Yes, we do. First and foremost, Billy,
I'm
want to congratulate
sure
you and your lovely wife.
Not on the radio.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said, I'm sure there's a good name for me when you're not talking to me, so that's okay.
No, we don't have any yet, but let me
guys.
Work on that a little bit. You didn't get a chance to hear me say what I said there. First and foremost, congratulations to you and your lovely wife on your newlywed status here.
Well, thank you, guys. Some people say it's I'm jumping into the pit of death, or some people congratulate me, but she's a very good girl, and, God, we've been together for 8 years. We've slept on floors. We've traveled to 10 different people on race teams. We've traveled across the country, so I'm very fortunate.
Awesome.
And she's actually home right now at the house, and I'm here at the shop.
So is she a total sweetheart? This is my take on marriage, Billy.
Yes.
In every marriage, someone gets the gold mine and someone gets the shaft. So it is pretty apparent that you ended up with the gold mine.
Ah, come on now. What was I going to say? What do they tell you? Marriage is all what you take out of it.
That's right. No, she's a sweetheart of a girl, and I really do. A heartfelt congratulations to both of you.
Well, thank you. If she turned me down, I was going to ask Whippy to marry me, but I don't know how well that would
work. Whoa! I can't do that, kid. People will talk about us then.
I just messed with you guys.
You know?
So, Billy, you got a lot of things coming up here for 2013. What's first on your agenda for next year?
What's first on my agenda? I'm taking over the seat of Adams Lettering number 28.
Wow.
Wow, Joe, you got
you guys.
A car?
I'm headed to the Chili Bowl here in about 1 month to drive for Larry Gardner Motorsports out of Speedway, Indiana for the 27th annual Chili Bowl. So I'm pretty excited. It's probably one of the better deals I've had to go out there, and I'm pretty pumped about it. So.
Yeah, because this isn't your first trip out to the Chili Bowl.
No, this will be my fifth trip, actually. I've been a couple of times. I went out and drove for Koblars for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And then I drove for Speed Quip 2 years. So, yeah, I think this is my fifth trip. We ended up in the C Main last time I was there, which should have been a little better, but I came down deadly sick the night of the mains on the feature, and it kind of hurt me a little bit. But I love it, man. It's the best race. You guys got to see it. If anybody could see a race, that's the race you want to see.
So I've been told. Let me ask you this. When you go to a venue like that, I mean, you are racing, first of all, against the best of the best. Second of all, you're racing against people that it's kind of a mid-winter deal, so everybody's hungry. Is it intimidating? Is it exciting? Is it D, all the above? What's your take on that?
It's everything, man. It's everything you ever want to see in a race all wrapped up into one. I just love to go, man. I love racing that race. That's probably the most exciting. You can ask anybody that's ever been a part of it. They enjoy racing that race more than most races you do throughout the year. One driver's meeting, I sat next to Tony Selzy, Sammy Swindell, and I think it was Jeep Van Wormer, the late model guy. Who the heck do you ever see that driver's meeting, you know?
Yeah, really.
The people I've met there, the contacts I've made, it's unbelievable. I love doing that race.
Good for you. Good for you. So you're going to be heading to the Chili Bowl, and where are you going to be starting out locally here in Pennsylvania?
Well, the one thing I do know is I will be back driving the car I drove at the end of the year, the Wilson race in 56 for Dave and Bill Wilson, which we got pretty good there at the end. I need some more lap time at 410s. Them guys got some experience on me, but we're going to start out probably at Lincoln there for the first couple of weeks, and we're going to go from there.
Great. I've known Dave Wilson for – he's probably going to shoot me for saying this, probably at least 15 or 20 years.
Uh-oh.
I don't know his brother Bill that well. He is with Wilson Optical. And great, great people. You're going to have a blast.
No, I really enjoy with them. Actually, Bill's probably about 3 miles from your place, really. That's where he lives. So.
Oh, wow. Didn't know
and,
that.
And Dave's excellent, man. I have nothing but good things to say about Dave and Bill. We had some success this year, and like I said, the driver's got to get some more lap time. We got to get some feel, but we're going to start out at Lincoln here, and I don't know if we're going to run a full schedule. There's something else that we're contemplating doing here, and if that comes into effect, that might not be full-time at Lincoln, but we'll be in a lot of different places.
You like Lincoln?
I love Lincoln, man. There's
same here.
it's one of my favorite racetracks to go to. If it wasn't 3 hours away, I'd really, really like it a lot more, but I just love the people. I love sprint car racing, and I'm just excited to be doing it. The thing about – the thing people don't remember is I grew up with a little bit of modifieds, but, man, when I was a kid from – ooh, what I want to say, I was – when wouldn't it be 1992? It'd be 5 till I was about 14, 15. My dad ran for Zemco and all the sprints, so that's what I grew up a lot doing, you know?
Right.
But I do remember the days of Penn National and all that other stuff, so I'm not saying that. But I do remember sprints more than I do anything.
No, I remember you had Victory Lane at the Victorian 200 in 94, 90, maybe a year earlier than that. You were running when Dad swept like 6 in a row. I mean, you were like a year old.
Ooh, come on. I was like, I probably was 3 at the time the last 3? One won it, you know. But it's funny, you know, when I grew up, man, I can remember going up there and winning, and then he would go to Penn National. I can remember people... We weren't allowed to walk in certain sections of the stands because they hated my dad so bad. I still think some people in, like, that area out there don't like being my dad just from Penn National years. You know what I mean? It's still we got a little bit of a rivalry, you know? But most of the people I get along with now, so I can't say nothing bad, but it was interesting.
Dad hauled a lot of money out of that place, so there's where the animosity comes from.
People don't like when you come in and take their money.
No.
No. No, they didn't like that because everybody was like, who's this guy? You know, he shows up once a year and takes our money. I mean, is it hard? I mean, it has to be hard, you know, growing. Your dad is a legend. And, like, you know, you're kind of in his footsteps. Is that really a hard thing to live up to?
You know, it would be as hard as can be, but I try to be my own person.
Absolutely.
I think I got, now I'm up to about, I'd say 16 wins in my career, which – it's pretty decent for some people, but, you know, when you're really Pasha's son, it's never enough. But that's okay, you know. You run modified midgets, and some people ask me, well, why do you do so much? It's just because, I don't know, I like the race, and I like every aspect of it. And you're only on this place once. You're only on this world once, so you got to enjoy everything you can.
Right. And you driving all these other vehicles just makes you a better driver.
Agreed 100%. I mean, probably... Mm-hmm. If I would have sat down about, I'd say 5-6 years ago, and just said, hey, I'm going to run Pennsylvania small blocks. Maybe I should have won a Diamond Championship. I should have won probably more races there. But you know what? That's not what I really wanted to do. And I had a blast doing everything else. I'm always wanted to do sprint cars, and the timing was right. And I'm hoping to build something into it where we can maybe step up to a bigger deal for that.
Now, Billy, obviously there's a tremendous horsepower difference between the 410s and say the small block that you run here in Pennsylvania in years past. Besides that, what are some of the biggest differences just as far as drivability or undrivability comparing a sprint car to a modified?
Oh, man, sprint cars, you got to be on the edge all the time, you know. Modifieds are more a thinking man's game. It's the only thing I like about sprint cars is there's a lot of respect. The downside of racing right now, modifieds, is there's not a lot of respect for equipment and everything out there, you know.
Because nobody's paying for it. The drivers aren't paying for it. It's the car owners that are paying for it.
Agreed, Whippy. And you know what the problem is? Like, I ran Grandview, is you can't give an inch. So when you can't give an inch, there's wrecks, man, you know. It's just the same of it. Me and my dad were talking about this the other day. That's the only downside of the whole deal, the small blocks and stuff, is you can't give an inch, and people seem to wreck more when it happens like that.
Yeah, it seems like if you give an inch, you're just going to get run over from behind, unfortunately, a lot of times.
Unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast, you know.
It is.
That's the game.
It is. So you're going to be flat-footing a 410 at Lincoln, going fast and sideways. I guess you're super stoked up about that. Like we talked about before, you got a great team there with the Wilson brothers. What else do you have planned for next year?
Well, I am returning to drive for Jimmy and Al Bewley again. I don't know how many races we'll do. They're just... I run with Jimmy now, and we have a good time. And
great
awesome
people again.
People. They're really, really great people. Everyone I know knows Joey Adams, so it's kind of like he's a living legend in this racing world. But that's a different story in itself.
Yeah.
But we run back with Jimmy and Al Bewley again, and we're going to do a couple shows here and there. I'm working on – I wish I could tell you guys the whole story, but I'm working on – there was someone brought to my attention a deal to do a bunch of 360 racing next year. With
awesome.
URC and stuff, and that's what's going to reflect if we do that deal, whether I'll be constant at Lincoln every Saturday,
uh-huh.
or I'll run some 360 shows and give everyone a break to keep everyone going.
Well, that keeps everybody floating. And back to the Jim and Al Bewley circumstance that you have there, By you driving that car, realistically, you have hurt me financially, Billy. I don't know if you know this or not. Because when Jimmy was driving the car, I was able to put my daughter through college just through wing money when Jimmy drove the car. So you beat me up a little bit there, buddy.
I think I'm still on the same winger. I got one wing on it. But I know Jimmy did a lot of wrecking, but me and Jimmy turned into really, really good friends. And I'm always pleased with Joey Adams' lettering on the side of that car, the big A.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I don't know, Jimmy, if I'm digging your new design. I'm going to be honest with you, Joey. I got to be straight up with you on this a little bit. I don't know if I like the number on the back quarter and the sponsor on the front door.
Dude, that's old school, man. Look at some old pictures of Pops, man.
I know it's old school. It just doesn't flow. Like, some of the cars just don't flow for me. You know what I mean? It's bigger sponsors. I agree 100%, you know?
Yep.
And you get, like, Norm on the side of the car. Maybe next year you put Norm's face on the side of the door. And then the 357 on the back.
I could definitely do that.
It's just something interesting, you know?
Well,
hey, everyone gets their rocks off somehow.
I do appreciate your honesty on that, Billy. And to be honest with you, when I've said this before on the show, I knew when I did those cars like that, some would like, most would hate, but they'd all talk about it.
Exactly. And, you know what someone told me one time, Joey? If they're not talking about you, you're not doing something right. Either people like you or people hate you, but if they ain't talking about you, you ain't making noise.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But
hey, I got a couple questions for you, Billy. What are your future plans? Like, okay, you want to go 410 racing. What about, like, moving west and, like, running Indiana?
I always love Indiana, man. It's awesome. It's probably the most fun racing. I just had this conversation with the USAC guy, Jason McCord.
Okay.
The problem we have with going out there is they don't run for nothing. I love running midgets. Man, Whippy all the time. You want to see something cool, go to USAC, see Midget Week or Sprint Week. Awesome, man. Them guys can wheel a race car. I love
it. Them boys are getting
it. Ask anybody that went out there, you know. Them boys are getting after it. And will I go out there? I don't know. Now that I bought a house 5 months ago, so it's tough for me to move up and leave. But I will be back out there to go racing. I enjoy it. And one of the things I will be doing, I can say, is that when the Eastern Storm comes through, I'm going to we're actually putting an effort in, a real good effort, to drive the 175 for Tony P again.
Okay.
And we're actually going to practice, and he's got a good wingless motor, and I'm kind of excited about it. Tony P's crazy Italian, so me and him get along pretty good and have a good time.
Right. Well, remember that line you said years ago when me and Kenyon's old show, you got to drive a USAC sprint car like you want to die.
Yeah, you gotta drive them like you want to die. And I gotta find that feeling. The thing about modified is you got a comfortable feeling with them things. You want to drive them like you want to die. Then again, Brian Monteith drives the same way, so might have to figure that out.
Hey now,
yeah.
Like you said, on the edge, it's taking it to the front. I've talked to many sprint car drivers, and they all say the same thing: if you're comfortable, you're not going fast.
Agreed, 100%.
Hey Billy, do you sleep in your car before hot laps?
You know, I almost have, and I thought, man, I must be crazy. And then I heard about that the other night. I said, man, I might not be the only one. There's some nights where we work late, and then we get up and go racing. There's nights when I'm beat-ass tired. But get up and do it, and I have been tired. I will say that. And I'll admit to it. I've never fallen asleep, but I've came close.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're amazed at how many people get so relaxed and comfortable in their cars prior to hot laps that – you know, we've talked to two separate people here on the show, and they've readily admitted that they take a little snooze sometimes before the action starts. It's kind of crazy.
You know what amazes me, and I'm not one to do it, is I know a lot of drivers that'll really go out and get totally blitzed the night before they race, and then I don't know how they race the next day. But that's something I won't do is I really don't drink the night before I race because I think it's really wrong. You know what I mean? For all the money you spend. Afterwards, man, I'm here to have a beer with you guys any time of the week. But
we can have
before,
it.
I'm not a giant fan of it, you know, and I'm surprised that people can stand.
Yeah.
I've seen a few. I mean, I won't mention no names or car numbers, but I know a few that have stayed up way out past their time that they should be.
Yes.
You know. And we have another Eric Whips in the studio, and he's one who likes to sleep in his car. You know?
Nice.
Yeah, he's a napper too.
He's a napper too.
Yeah, he likes to take naps in the car.
Kind of like my old man. He likes to take naps, but he don't take naps in a race car.
Right. Hey, I won't call him. I mean, you just call him the old man. What is the old? Do you know what the old man's doing next year?
I would say I would be surprised if he doesn't go back to New Egypt.
Okay.
It's not a done deal, but Kevin loves New Egypt, and that's his owner, and him and Kevin are probably best friends, and he's probably one of the closest family members we got without being in the family. So I would be shocked if he's not. It's not a done deal, but I'd be shocked if he doesn't go back to New Egypt.
All right, yeah, because, I mean, you know, we're just curious. Now, you're at the shop right now, right?
Yep.
And you're working, Dad and you working side-by-side on the cars? I mean, do you ever,
it depends. Well, today we're trying to figure out, we're bringing back two big nail frames, and we're trying to figure out how to get them into a trailer with another thing. So, yeah, we're working side-by-side right now.
Do you guys get along when you work side-by-side? Because, you know, some father-sons just don't hit it off when they work together.
You know what's funny is we get along pretty good. We get along better than most father-sons, and I just moved out about 4 months ago, and he calls me about every day. We probably talk more than we talk a ton now, and we get along very good. We just drove to Indianapolis this weekend for the trade show together, so we do a lot together. And one thing I could say about racing is it keeps, it's like one big family, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Pouch family is it's great, because when you ran Berkey's Midget, it's like, there you are, your dad's there, your mom's there, your sister's there, and then you look over and there's your grandfather.
Yeah, no, we always come together. It's one thing I could say is most of us were a very close-knit family there, and that's a plus. Man, there's a good guy. I got to tell you, I drove for a lot of people. I call him the most miserable man in motorsports, Sean Burke, but he's one of my good buddies. he's a piece of work. If you know Sean Burke, so the story goes, I know Sean for a while. My dad drove his Micro in Harrisburg years ago.
I was there for
Remember that.
Yep.
Yes. And we always kept in touch, and when him and Smith split up, we kept in touch. He called me up and he says, what's going on, Grandview? Last minute deal, brought my seat there, put it in, and we won. I don't know how we ever pulled it off, and we were good. And we just had motor problems here the past couple of years, but, man, we had me and Sean, and that's Whippy. We have a good time when I get together, but he's got the little man in the car, and Austin's going to turn into a good driver. Just got to take get some
little
learning
time
experience,
and, money.
And he'll be good. That's it, man. All it takes is real time and money.
Yeah, time and money. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're talking about this whole family deal here. You know, when you were still living at home with Mom and Dad and you were racing with Dad, do you ever have a bad night at the track that maybe ruin your dinner the next day?
Yeah, we don't discuss that too often sometimes when it gets bad. I've had nights when my second year of racing, we got together and he hit a mud puddle and put me in the outside wall and bent my frame, and it wasn't a good sign, but we made up, and we don't talk about it. This year was a little difficult racing against each other on every Saturday nights, but thank God we're not going to have to do that every week this coming year, so that worked out good.
That's awesome.
I mean, Pops is a legend. I mean, he's one enough. Do you ever want to run up? Did you like running that pancake modified?
They were very cool. I wish I had a better experience when I did it. I had a good team. I just didn't have the right crew chief behind me at the time, but they were fun, man. They were cool. They were cool race cars.
I mean, because you've driven. What's your favorite thing to drive? I mean, you've driven pretty much everything but a late model.
Yeah, I never drove a late model. Asphalt late model. Never drove a dirt late model. But I'll be honest with you, you get a good open wheel midget, they are a blast to drive. There's so much fun to drive. It's not even funny.
They look like fun.
Oh, man, on top of the wheel, everything happens. They're very, very cool cars to drive.
How do you like them slide jobs? Better to give than receive, isn't it?
Exactly. You got to be on the wheel. Slid or be slid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, you won twice at Grandview, and you got one win at Susky and Berkey's Midgets.
Yep.
Right?
So. Yes, I did. That's it. I never really ran a full season. I probably got about, 30-35 races under my belt, midgets, but man, when I ran for Koblars, we had like 20 seconds. We ran second every time we could. I don't know what the scam was. It was like we were cursed together. And if you ever talk to Brian, he tells the story. It was like his girlfriend that gave up her virginity the next time he got in the next ride. You know what I mean? When I won. So that's a different story in itself, though.
Yeah. Hey, and now this is going to bring you back. I remember when you debuted at Borger Speedway in a slingshot.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Dude, I have that picture, and you autographed it.
Nice. People don't remember when I started racing. My dad raced every weekend, so my grandfather stuck to me, and we used to go, or we go Tuesday and Wednesday night. And my dad would go with me as much as he can.
Yep.
But I mean, my dad's been for me everywhere, but my grandfather's done a lot for me in racing, and that's what kept me going, and that's how I got to the racetrack. And probably back then, I only ran 12 to 15 shows during the week, but I had some fun.
Well, Billy, what class of cars did you get started with? Was it the Slingshot, or did you start with a quarter midget? Or
I ran a quarter midget for a couple of years, but I probably only ran 10 shows each year, Joey, because my dad was racing so much, so it was tough for us to go.
Right.
But that's what I got started in. I actually we had a bunch of success there at Phoenixville and stuff. And, man, I was talking to someone this weekend. Got two kids in quarter midget, spent $200,000 to go quarter midget racing last year.
Yeah,
they're
taking
for trophies.
What? They're taking it pretty serious. There are
for
a lot of teams out there.
Trophies.
Yep.
Yeah,
for trophies.
Yeah. It's getting pretty serious. There's a lot of sponsorship involved with the quarter midget deals anymore. And I go to Phoenixville a lot. It's a great place, and it's usually good racing. I always call that the future stars of tomorrow there. And it's neat when these guys cut their teeth there, such as yourself, and end up coming up and doing what you're doing today. So everybody's got to start somewhere, and it's a pretty neat deal. But it is kind of crazy the amount of money that these guys are spending.
Oh, big time.
Did you run a 270?
Yes, I did. I ran a 270 for 1 year. My dad hated them to death because they made loud noise and smoked, and we sold it. I think I only ran maybe 10 races. They hated it to death.
Right, and you never ran a 600?
Nope, never ran a 600. I think I took it out in practice, but I never raced one.
Wow. How about, did you see that deal at Kutztown where they're going to pay $2,000 to win for the Speedsters on Wednesday night?
You ain't lying. There might be one of us in the household there on Wednesday nights. You never know.
Oh yeah?
You never know. One of us might be there weekly. We'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks.
That's interesting.
That Mandy? Mandy behind the wheel?
Maybe Mandy. I don't
know.
That's what I'm wondering. Maybe I'll be there crew chief for Whippy.
Yeah. Hey, because, you know, all of you Pouchies have won. Your mom's won. Your Grammy won. I remember your Grammy flipping your dad's car at Flemington.
Do you remember?
My.
You ain't that old, Whip.
Yes, I am.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
He put a big smile on his face, Billy.
Yep.
I was going to say, I would expect you to be about 6 at that time. I wouldn't even think you'd be around then. But
oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yep. That was, remember that at Flemington, Potter Puff. Yep. Mama
yep.
Pouch was behind the wheel of the son's car, and she wrecked it.
She's
working
good.
Yep. Elbows up.
Yeah, and your mom's got a win too, right? Mom,
I think she does. She won back in the Powder Puff, like in the 90s or something like that, you know?
That is so cool.
I mean, I've been around racing forever, and it's like the Pouchies. I've seen Mom Pouch. I've seen you grow and your sister grow, and it just blows my mind that now you're a winner now. You're Chili Bowl.
Exactly. It's amazing, Whippy, where it come from. And I'm kind of proud of what happens. And I'll tell you one thing about racing. The only thing I really like about racing, I'm always there to win. You always go to win races, but it's the people you meet in racing, too, that makes the sport, too. That's what there's a lot of people that aren't the best people you meet, but there's a lot of real good people in racing.
That's the truth. It's amazing the amount of people that you do meet in this deal here. And most are phenomenal. It really is the truth.
And then I ran into you one night after the USAC race up there at Big Diamond, and that's when I got hooked up with Brian Clausen, and Billy got me hooked up with Billy with Brian Clausen now. So
yes, there's
a good kid.
You know what's cool is I'm sitting there at this year I run a Speed Week, parked next to Kyle Larson, stops over, looks at me, goes, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while." I say, "Hey, what's going on, man? From the, we met at the Chili Bowl, kept quip like that. We every time I see him, we talk. It's just same with Clausen." Good friends of Brian. I know a bunch of them, man. And the coolest moment I can tell you about, last year we're walking to the down a trade show, and Tony Stewart stops, looks at my dad, and goes, "Hey, how's it going, Billy?" He goes, "I seen you racing, kid. You're doing a good job." I was like, "Whoa, about
wow.
going to ground,
no, that is awesome.
That's nice."
And here's one more story I got when you.
Yeah.
So we're at Daytona 2 years ago. We're coming out pit lane, you know. My dad, he's pretty big name, you know. We're sitting there. I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, Jeff Gordon walks by, stops, 20 reporters around, comes over, shakes my dad's hand, goes, "Billy the Kid, legend. How's it going?" Fell on the ground right before the 500.
Unreal.
Stopped and talked to my dad. I never forgot that. You get proud moments. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That is cool because, I mean, I've watched Pop's Pouch run forever. You know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So,
but
one of these years we'll get better. He'll get better in Pennsylvania here and come out there and really be a good show again. But that's for now. We're struggling a little bit, and then when it gets slick out there, but figure it out.
Yeah, and Dad's used to running them slick tracks up there in New York. I mean, he used to, when he was with the M1 there, the Faust car, he dominated for a while.
They're really good. He's put a lot of effort into it, and hopefully come back and figure it out, you know. And we were a little disappointed in our sixer effort last year down there at Grandview, but that's the nature of the beast, and you can't relive them.
No,
yeah, but
it happens.
That was That was one of my highlights because I got to win. I got to interview Daddy, won the Flying Mullet Dash for Cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot you jumped the other announcer and kicked him out of Victory Lane there.
Yes, he did it himself.
I'm just messing with you. I like Pete. I got no problem. So I just was busting on you.
Yeah, but so now, do you get any? Did Dad like give you any tips? Like, hey, kid, you're screwing up here, and you know. Or...
He does a little bit. You know, he'll give me small words of wisdom here and kind of points me in the right direction, and that's a plus. You know, when I get in a pinch and I have questions, I always ask him, and when I ask him for racing advice and what he thinks I should do.
And he'll stare you in the right way because, I mean, that's all Dad's done.
That's all he's ever done. That's all he's known. I mean, I did it for a couple years, and this is – I mean, could I do racing for a living? Yeah, probably, but I'll be broke. I don't want to be broke, so that's why I have a real job, you know. And that's another story. I was sitting there at the show this weekend talking to the USAC guy, and he goes, you don't want to do this for a living. He says, one of our most famous race car drivers right now is delivering parts for Napa right now. It was Dave Darlin, you know. He can only make so much money, and it's tough.
It happens. It really does. It's a tough racket to try to make a living in it. Many have tried, many have failed. It's just one of those deals.
Can I give a Norm Hansel quote there? Who would want to make a? I can't give the Norm Hansel voice. I wish I could give the voice. Anyone that wants to live off a race and is an idiot or something like that, or he has a good saying, but I wish I could do it in his voice.
Norm has probably some of the most awesome sayings in all of motorsports. Norm, I've been fortunate enough to have Norm as a customer of mine since his onset of racing. And some of the stuff that guy says is so many people are intimidated by him for some reason or another. They feel he's unapproachable. But truly, if you get to know this guy and meet him, he is one of the funniest human beings you'll ever talk to in your life. He has said
I have nothing but good things to say about that guy. You know, he's always been good to me. I mean, most of the people have been really good to me. So it's just you take all kinds of characters in this racing world.
Yeah, and he is definitely one of them.
He is definitely up there. I got to give him credit. He speaks his mind.
Yeah, he does. One of the funniest Norm stories I've ever heard. Standing with Norm and Michelle up at Five mm-hmm. Mile Point, and it was Deo's Super Nats show, and he turns to me and he says, "I don't think I'm going to give Deo any money next year for this race." I said, "Oh, you're not going to sponsor him? Well, why not?" He said, "I think it'd be more appropriate for me to just send him a box of nails to fix these bleachers up here." And as I looked down, all the bleachers were sticking up in the air and all crooked and everything. It's like,
oh, man.
He's the man.
You know, Brett does a phenomenal job of promoting races. I'm glad he's going to New Egypt. But, I mean, I like Five Mile Point, a great racetrack. But the facilities need a little uplifting. But that's a different story in itself. That's Whippy's home territory, so I can't
say much. Right. Don't bash it too bad. The economy still sucks up there.
They're trying.
That's it. I like that track. That's a great track.
It's a great little race track.
You know what? And they don't use transponders up there because if they made them use transponders, probably 80% of the guys wouldn't race because they couldn't afford it.
That's it. They only run for $1,000 to win.
Yeah. You know?
It's an interesting world there. It's like, you know what track I like? I like going to Accord. If you ever get a chance, go to Accord.
Yeah, but that's so damn far.
Yeah, I know. It's a ride. It's like going through the sticks. It's like, hey, here's a racetrack, you know? It's definitely a sight in itself. A couple years ago, I went to the Chili Bowl. We had a test one day. I went to a little track. I don't even know what it was called. It was Dog River. No, it was Will Rogers Speedway. Middle of Oklahoma, man. The guy just opened his gates. Here's the tow truck. Start your car up and practice. So I couldn't believe it. That's lucky. Some of the stuff you do in this world, man, lucky you're alive.
Yeah, Berkey did that at Penn Camp, but he didn't get the okay to do it.
No. He took the water truck around the track.
Yeah. You know,
that's it.
Yeah, Berkey didn't get the okay to do it, but they did it. You know?
He had a fun time doing it, though. He's a character. I was at Sussy when we won, and I'm struggling in the concept, barely make the show. He goes, "I'm going to throw everything I know at it. If it doesn't work, pull off on lap one. Son of a gun if we didn't win the race."
Yep. And you got that 6-foot hoagie?
What's that? Got a nice big hoagie? We had a good old time there, you know?
Yep.
The next year I went to Indiana Midget Week, and, man, he was yelling at someone. I said, "Oh, boy, Berkey, calm down. He's a piece of work."
Yep, the Golden Dome.
That's it, the Golden Dome. I like
golden
that one.
Golden Dome, man. So, hey, would you like to run a late model, dirt late model one time?
I would like to try it. I would like to try it. Right now I'm concentrating on getting the sprint car deal going here and hopefully being successful with it. And but you never know. I had an opportunity a couple years ago. It just didn't work out to the right deal.
Uh-huh.
And you never know. They pay good money, man.
Right.
They do.
How about that deal at Lincoln? You know, Lincoln, you're going down the back straightaway, and you're going downhill into three, and you're coming out of four, you're going uphill.
Yeah, it's a wild racetrack. Took me a while to figure it out, but once I got the hang of it, it's a cool racetrack there, you know?
Uh-huh. I mean, and it's. I think Lincoln's one of the best. How about the Grove? I mean, you like the Grove?
You know what, Whippy? I only ever raced the Grove once.
Right.
I've raced a lot of racetracks, and I like the Grove, but I ran it in a midget, so it wasn't my favorite place to run a midget.
Right.
But it was a cool racetrack, you know?
I mean, there's just a lot of history.
It was definitely well worth the experience.
What made you not like it, Billy, if you don't mind me asking?
I didn't like it in a midget because it was so big for a midget. In a sprint
really?
Car, oh, I'd love it.
Yeah.
But in a midget, not so well. You're not the right size track, man.
It's understandable.
Yeah, those midgets need to be on, like, quarter rent. They don't need half miles.
No.
Grandview is a great midget track. The high banks of Grandview is a great racetrack. And, you know, I've been a lot of places. I got to tell you, though, I love Lincoln, but Grandview's got a good Saturday night program, too. Always enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I enjoy the atmosphere. And it's an experience in itself.
It's a tough gig to qualify up there every Saturday night. Just to qualify.
You ain't lying.
Yeah.
I was going around one night up there. Slow under warm-ups. So I look up when you're packing the track in. I look up, and there's a little girl, had to be 10, giving me the finger. Said,
awesome.
Screw you. We'll keep the word you pouch. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I said,
that's
wow,
a fan
this place
right there.
This place is a sight in itself.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about right
she
there.
She probably thought it was your dad.
It might be, but hey, I guess, you know, if they ain't talking about you, they ain't, you know. And
that's right.
I take the sport pretty passionate, and I'm pretty good. I try to represent myself the right way. Sometimes I lose it, but 95% of the time I'm pretty good. So,
speaking of taking this sport passionately, we spoke to an up-and-coming young sportsman driver here a couple weeks ago, and you were the topic of one of our conversations here a little bit.
Oh,
and,
was I now?
Yeah, we were thoroughly impressed just to how in shape you are to be able to run from turn four at Big Diamond.
No, from the front straight away.
From the front stretch of Big Diamond.
To the back stretch.
To the back stretch. And you did some, we'll say, mechanical work on this particular
young man.
A tune-up, yes. And so
we
got a huge
you know,
light. We're not picking on you. We're just bringing it to light because we all thought it was kind of funny.
Well, you got to have I don't know, you know. I can't say nothing bad. I mean, we all make mistakes. It's racing in this world here, you know. But I made it over there. I was surprised. And
dude,
I got all the way over there.
Were you winded? No.
My aggression was still going because I was still screaming when I got to the pits. I've raced for about 9 years, and that was the worst. I think that was the maddest I've ever been. And now I can laugh about it. I mean, what are you going to do now?
Exactly.
It's over, you know. I got no problems, hopefully, with the team, you know. That's the nature of the beast. But, I got over there, and I got a little mad, and I'd known the kid for a while, so I didn't want to really get in a brawl. So I did the next best thing without fighting, so I didn't want to fight him. So
you Alan Johnson'd him and pulled the spark plug wire.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, you know. And I was lucky the motor was off, but you know what? At the end of the day, it cost me $8,000. It cost him 2 seconds to put a spark plug wire on, so I got the roll end of the deal. But I don't hold grudges, and the kid's going to be a good driver. And like they say, if you race with people long enough, you're going to have a problem. Now, here's a good one for you. My dad and Horton got into it at Bridgeport this year. I'm sure you guys are well aware of it.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
That was great.
So we're walking down the trade show in Indy this weekend, and who comes down the aisle? Jimmy Horton. My dad looks over him and goes, and Jimmy, I don't know if Jimmy's going to say anything, he goes, Jimmy, how are we doing? 5-10 minute conversation, leads to a half an hour, and now hopefully they're in better terms. But they've been running 35, 40 years together.
Yeah,
you're going to run into each other.
And
it's the nature of the beast, man.
And that's what is so cool about racing. I mean, guys get in tussles every week at local tracks across the United States. They're mad for a week or two, and everything gets back into shape again. So it all works out.
It usually works out. I mean, there's some people that take it longer, and I don't know if my dad and Von Doren have seen eye to eye since Big Diamond, but that's a different story in itself, you know?
Yeah, because that's like the same spot that you and you had your little incident
yes.
with.
Very
and
close.
Exactly, you know. I don't know. I got all the way over there, and maybe I misunderstood or whatnot, but I said, you wrecked me. And he said, I swear on my mind, he said, so what? And I went, and I just seen red, and I didn't know what to say. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe that's what I thought I heard. I'm like, so what? Oh, no. And I'm like, well, I kind of like him. I said, better not do that. So I'm like, so what? I grabbed the spark plug wires. I got no idea where I came up with it, but that was what it came into my mind.
You had to do what you had to do at the time. And it's, you know what, I touched upon this a couple weeks ago on the show. People look at you and say, oh, my God, how can he do that, this, that, and the other. Anybody that has ever suffered road rage where you just want to punch somebody in the throat for cutting you off, it's times a thousand when you're on a racetrack. You're so geared up. Your elbows are up. You're leaning forward. And if you feel somebody did you wrong, whether they did or not, that's what your thought process is. And sometimes you just got to take matters into your own hands. It happens.
That's it. I'm eyeing up the next spark plug wires I'm going to pull. This guy drives a blue Trailblazer. I told him I was going to pull his next time I see him.
Blue Trailblazer?
Who drives a blue Trailblazer?
Hmm.
Does he have a car number?
Well, he helps the 11.
He
was on the radio station with you guys.
Oh!
I told him that.
Not the
I seen him somewhere in Tuskegee, and I told him that because we all kind of got over. I looked over. I said, I'm going to pull your spark plug wires next time I see you. He kind of had a laugh to him. Yeah, it is what it is. You know, we all get mad. We all take it any which way, but that's the nature of the beast, you know?
At the end of the day, as long as we can all laugh about it, that's all that truly matters. So
That's it. That's it. We're all here. We're still kicking, and I'll build them up, and we'll come back, and hopefully Diamond finally moves their starting position after turn four, because I think that's retarded, and that caused most of the wrecks up there, and we'll be all right.
You think that was a reason? I mean, because they start right there, at, like off of turn three and four.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's a dumb idea. When you get in the middle of turn three and four, everyone hits the gas, and they got these spring bars on, and it makes them tight, and then the car catches.
Okay. Gotcha.
When you start, if we started a little bit farther down or going into three, I think it'd eliminate it. Buddy had the best idea, and he had the best starting zone, but you know what? That's not my racetrack. I can just suggest things, and I'm hoping the best. I like Jake Smoley, and I'm hoping he's going to have some good things for next year, and I see he's going to pay $7,500 to win the beginning of April, so we'll see what happens.
Are you eyeing that show up?
Oh, I'll try and be there. If I'm not running sprints on Friday nights, I will put something together. We'll see. I still have some money in these modified, so we'll be there.
Good.
Good. Good.
Well, tell you what,
Billy, I do like Big Diamond, even though it cost me a lot of money last year. I still like the place.
It is nice. And the guys up there, Jake and Tim Long and crew, are doing a phenomenal job trying to get everything squared away and keep us rolling in the right position here. So hats off to them. Billy, can you stay on the line with us for a little bit? We're going to take a short break here. We're going to take a little cool down lap. We're going to throw the caution. And we'll be right back with Billy Pouch Jr. in about 3 or 4 minutes.
No problem.
Thanks, Billy. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're on with Billy Pouch Jr.
Man, that band was loud.
The band was cranking it tonight. Ooh. Billy, before I get started here, I have a request.
Yep.
Our good buddy Jeff Pfister is in the house tonight. He wants me to tell you he said hi. Pfister, the blister.
Pfister is one of the better guys, one of the best guys I've met from Grammy.
Oh,
I'm very proud to go Pfister for that. I'm not trying to talk him up. I like Pfister. He's a good guy.
Well,
he
I don't like
him. To put a hat on tonight.
I don't like
Woo-hoo,
him.
Look out.
I don't like him at all.
Oh, come on, guys. Come on. He's like the hometown hero.
He is the hometown hero.
Pfister's a good guy.
Jeff's a good buddy of mine. I'm glad to see you stop by and hanging out with us. I'm supposed to tell you, ask you how you met at the Walmart.
Oh, yeah, that's a classic. That is how I met Jeff. I'm going to Grandview on Saturday night, and I got to stop at Walmart for Super Clean, for Brake Clean, out of all things.
Uh-huh.
And there's Jeff. I didn't even know Jeff. He's my cashier at Walmart. Next thing I know, we become friends. Now, 3-4 years later, I know him all the time, you know, and funny how this world works.
It is.
Did he give you the Walmart employee discount?
Well, no. He did the 5-finger discount for me.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
No, I'm just messing with you guys.
He probably gave you the good buddy discount, which is about 25% above and beyond what everybody else pays. I know how he works.
Exactly. I had to take care of about 10 beers after that. That's okay, though.
We actually have him mic'd up. Would you like to say something to Billy, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
How's it going tonight, man?
Oh, great. Hey, you got your first Grandview win that night, remember?
Yes, I did. And every time... I don't know if I could ever find you again. That might be my problem. I might have to get you back to Quakertown Walmart so I can come visit. So next time I come to Grandview, we're going to have to make it like tradition.
Yeah, I graduated from Walmart, so that'll be a little hard. But,
yep. He graduated
That's all right, though. Everyone's got to step up sometime there, you know?
He graduated from Walmart, and he's now screwing toothpaste caps on toothpaste tubes. So he's
I've got a request for you there, Joey.
Yes.
Al Bewley said you're the worst letter he's ever seen.
I'm not shocked that he's saying that.
He told me he came down to your house one day. He got there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you didn't show up to the shop till 1 o'clock because you were sleeping still.
No, that didn't happen. Actually, I didn't show up till 1 o'clock because I knew he was here at 9. I was hoping he'd leave.
He
may say I'm the worst lettering guy in the world, but he'll tell you that I still have the cutest ass out of all the lettering guys. So there you
That's
have it.
That's it.
No, Al is a great guy. We bust on each other constantly, along with his son, Jimmy. They're really good people, and I'm proud to say that they are customers of mine. So we always have a blast with them.
No, very, very good. I had a good time with them, running for them. And one night we're out there, Lincoln, we're leading a concierge of all things. And he tried to run me out of fuel, started stumbling on the last lap, and came in. I said, what's wrong with the motor? Oh, it's almost out of fuel. I said, oh, you're running me pretty close for the concierge. Well, you know, extra weight. Piece of work.
Yeah. He is a piece of work. Great guy.
Yeah. Hey, Billy, are you going to maybe attend down there at Florida for the Dirt Series at all? Are you going to run any Florida shows maybe?
No. I'm probably only going to do the Chili Bowl this year.
Chili Bowl this winter?
And then we're going to start out. Oh, I really can't even do that because we're technically supposed to start February 22nd at Lincoln this year if that comes through. But I highly doubt it. But with this weather, who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm. February 22nd, man, that's early.
Yeah. That is early. So we're gonna play it by ear, and I'm hoping not to start about first week of March or second week of March, but we'll see what comes about of it.
All right, and you were a regular last year at New Egypt with the big box. How do you feel about New Egypt dropping the big box and going to the Pennsylvania 358s?
Let me tell you something. I grew up in New Egypt there when I was like mid-teens or whatnot, and I'm not a big fan of the way they're doing it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not against the change, but I think they could have done at least give it 4 or 5 years to change over, and then
right. Because now everybody's big blocks are just boat anchors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my dad's got 2 big blocks, and they're just kind of boat anchors, so it's a shame, and I don't like the way they went about it, but that's why I'm not going to be back next year. I enjoy the place. I enjoy the people, but I probably could have done something for next year, but I just don't like the way it was pushed down people's throats.
Wow.
Good point.
It seems to be a common thought process with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the way New Egypt did it,
they could have at least sold people with the big blocks, hey, 5 years, and then we can, we're going to outsource them, not, hey, tomorrow is it's going to happen, you know? And I don't know. You know, I don't. Some people have speculation it was because his car didn't win a race down there last year. Some people say it's because of this, but I don't know. I just don't like the way it was done down there.
Well, Neil, the wheel, that thing was on the chip all the time.
Well, yeah, he was trying to turn it hard, but who knows? You know, I like Neil Williams, but I just don't like the whole way that whole deal went down there. And I mean, it was a fun place to race. I had a good time. Godown was very good down there last year, and
yeah,
I guess he'll be back next year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, what's up with that? With the Godowns and the Pouches? I mean, you guys ain't like on the same Christmas list.
you know what? I really don't personally have a problem with Ryan Godown. I can't say I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just, how do I say it? He's dating one of my dad's good friends. He's very young. Let's leave it at that. Friend's daughters.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Really my dad doesn't like how the whole situation went down.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get into any more detail, but that's pretty much what really stemmed the whole deal. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And the guy, we grew up with the guy, and that's just I understand where my dad's coming from. That really does not sit very well with him. So
no, and I can imagine, because you know you have a sister, and Bad has a daughter who's a little bit older than that, and I can understand where he's coming from. But now, Beck, what's your favorite? You've been like Indiana, down Florida. What's your favorite tracks to race at?
Oh, Bloomington, Indiana, best racetrack in the country. Badass racetrack. I want to see Kokomo, but I love Bloomington. Bloomington is one cool racetrack. Never done Kokomo. Love Fulton, New York. Always like to go up there. Like Lincoln. If you want to go asphalt racing, go to Thompson International Speedway or New Hampshire. I love the Chili Bowl. Some cool racetracks out there, man. That's the only thing I wish people, like in Big Diamond, Grandview area, great racing, great people. But they need to, some people need to get out and see more of the country and the racetracks, you know?
Yes, because out west they got cushions. Here they're not.
Yeah, that's it.
They think they're a cushion, but they ain't a cushion.
I'm working on my buddy Diamond Dog to get him out to the Midwest to see a cushion one night, but I can't get him out of Big Diamond stands. He doesn't miss many shows there.
No, he does not.
Because, I mean, I've seen the cushions, and I mean, did you ever run Eldoro? You never ran Eldoro, have you?
I never ran Eldoro. I almost went with Berkey 1 year, but something happened, and we didn't make it.
I mean, I think that would suit you, because that'd suit you, that one. Because if you like Fulton and Grandview, that's like, you know, both of them
that's
tracks
up there.
Steroids.
That's
you know?
A cool racetrack. And on my list of things to do again is I did the Knoxville Nationals as a kid. I want to race it, but we'll see if that ever happens and see if that dream comes true.
Right. You want to run you should try to get a ride for the trucks.
Yes. Yes. You know what's funny about that? Someone sent me a message. We heard you got a ride for the trucks. I sent a message back. I heard you're going to give me $100,000 or what?
There you have it.
Yep. Cuz I'm sure some of those
deal there.
Yeah. I'm sure some of those USAC 410 guys are trying to eye up rides that have experience at Eldoro.
Tracy Hines has a ride.
Wow.
Really?
Awesome.
That's what Tracy told me when I seen him last weekend, but we'll see if that comes true or not, you know?
Wow. Because I would think, like, he Darlin, like, maybe Clawson, you know, or Buell.
Yeah, there's another one, you know, and I think that'd be a cool experience. You got to get some dirt guys in there to make it a wild race and things happening all the time.
That's it. You just can't have the NASCAR guys come in.
No. I like it because it's different. It's just something different. Sometimes we need to breathe a breath of fresh air into this whole racing deal and check things up a little bit, and I just think it's awesome. I hope it works out for all parties concerned.
You want to know how to take a good nap on a Sunday? Turn a NASCAR race on.
You got that right. You got that right. I'm in total agreement. Not a big NASCAR fan.
Yeah, me either. I watch a little bit of it, and I know a lot of people in it, but I'm not a big fan of it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, when you were out in Indiana, were you out there trying to pick up product sponsors or anything?
Yes. No. We kept in contact with everyone. I mean, I'm fortunate through my dad. He's got a lot of contacts, and I've kept them going here, and a lot of them helped me out. And we landed a couple of product sponsors. And we always had, like, we go out and see MSD, Federal Mogul, Champion, Spark Plugs. This year I had a nice conversation with VP Fuels about doing something, some other people, you know, and it's leading to some good things, and it was worth our trip.
Good. Now, how about
the only thing I could say? Yeah. The only thing I could say about the trip is, I was in charge of booking rooms. Never stayed at Econo Lodge.
I thought I woke up and I thought I heard a murder outside my room, but that's okay.
In Indiana, come on.
No, Billy, it was downtown Indiana. My mom went with us. She was the one that she drove a lot of the trip, and she goes, "You better never pick a motel room again." She screamed, yelled at me all the rest of the way home. It was funny.
Now, Billy, you were in Indiana, and you rubbed elbows with all these people and got to see all these people. What exactly were you out there for? Can you enlighten us on what was happening out there?
What show was it?
It's the Indianapolis. It's the trade show. It's the IMIS, they call it. Indiana Motorsports Industry Show, I think it is. And it's probably the largest hardcore racing show in the country. It is from anybody in the racing product world, and it was definitely a good show. It was neat. It took us 2 full days to walk the whole show, me and my dad, and I would highly recommend, if you're into the hardcore racing part of it, to go out and see it.
2 full days. This thing's huge.
No, it's gigantic.
So if you want to learn anything about Pro Shocks or Hoosier Tires or Simpson Race Gear, whatever, that's the place to go, right?
That's the place to go. You had Pro, you had Penske, you have JRI, you have Bilstein, you got Coney, you got VP Fuels, Sunoco Fuels, you got this oil, that carburetor, everything you can think of pretty much is there.
Right. So realistically, it's not per se a car show, say like the Coventry Mall and things like that. I just want our listeners to know what exactly goes on out there and why so many of these top and elite drivers were out there at this place. Again, it's not really a car show per se. It's for hardcore racers to get out there, see what's the latest and greatest that's on the market, and, you know, hopefully wheel and deal and strike a deal and get some product sponsorship out of the deal, correct?
Man, you nailed it to a T, Joey.
There you have it.
That's why I asked to be my host.
That's it. This is kind of like a relationship here. I don't want to break it up.
Hey, not to change the subject, I mean, you had your dad as like a follower. Did you have any other like guys you looked up to while you were growing up racing? I mean, listen, growing up, I mean, he's still a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up with a lot of people. I always had a lot of things. You know, I was like Frank Cozy. I was a big difference. I could always kind of like Craig Von Dorn when I was a kid in Pennsylvania a little bit, and I don't know. You always root for your dad because that's who you want to see win.
Sure.
Right.
You know, so it really wasn't many other people. And a lot of minds, I mean, in my mind, he's the best there ever was. But that's just because he's my dad, you know?
Exactly. As he should be.
I don't know. That's that's the way it should be. So I'm sure a lot of people, other people have their own opinions. But that's the way I look at it. So it's tough to root for anybody else.
Well, certainly can't argue with his record. There's no question about that. So
Is the dirt track still at the shop?
Oh yeah, we still got the dirt track. We don't mess around with it as much as we used to, but we still got tracks here. We got a go kart track and a big track, so we still got them to play around on.
It's a test and tune tracks.
We got 2 tracks. We got a small go kart one, and we got a big one for field cars.
So you just no test and tuning?
No, we just fun. We fired sprint cars off before, and we've had a lot of problems with neighbors complaining and stuff. So
yeah, you thought the neighbor with the barking dog was a pain in the ass. Where do you get the guy with the 410 brick car?
Exactly. We fire them off and they don't like to hear that, you know?
Womba, womba.
It's like, oh boy, this ain't good, you know?
No, the pouches are off.
Exactly. We fire motors late. We do all that stuff. Probably not the best thing to do, but that's okay.
And they get over it after a while.
Yeah. Hey, how long has Dad had that hauler that he has, that little cube van?
He bought a new cube van in 2003, but he's had that set up since the late 90s.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He actually talked about buying a Stacker this winter, but I think he talked himself out of it because he was like, you know what, he goes, I finally got four or five more years of racing. He says, why invest something now?
Wow.
Well, so he can give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's not a bad idea, too, you know?
Well, so, hey, is it Tebow or Sanchez?
Ooh, that's a good question. We suck this year. I'm looking to hire you as the quarterback, Whippy, if I was the coach.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know, you know. right now, Sanchez won Sunday, but it was ugly. So we're only a game out of the playoffs, but I don't know. I don't know. I'd almost rather take Michael Vick over those two right now.
Oh my.
And that's not pretty.
No, that's not pretty.
It's not pretty. So, hey, does Michelle want to race? Would she
Michelle,
run a motor?
No, she doesn't. Thank God. Thank God. So, I always bust on her. I always tell her she can go out to S&S. So, like this Saturday night, I think I'm heading up to Ryan Smith, but he's doing a benefit party for his sprint car racing, so I'm going up there on Saturday. Haven't been up there in a while, so that should be a good time this weekend. And
cool.
We're going to send in someone to pick up a Bicknell frame next week, and we'll be busy here. It's time to kick. We slowed down a little bit there when I got married, and kind of put me 2 weeks behind, but now it's time to get rolling and make things happen.
Awesome. Yeah, it's that time, so you got to keep cracking. Billy, on a side note here, you got all these rides going on next year and everything. Do you plan on having any kind of team apparel for these different rides that you have here? And if so, where can your fans get hooked up with you to purchase such apparel?
We usually carry them at the racetrack. And,
okay.
You'd be surprised. I mean, besides for my dad and maybe Von Dornis, We do a really good T-shirt business. I've got some really good fans, and I thank them all very truthfully. And we do a good T-shirt business and usually try and put a good product out. And for a while there, Brian and Missy did them, and I really like Brian and Missy, but I just don't run them racetracks anymore. So my sister and Michelle took back over, and they did a phenomenal job last year, and we'll see what happens.
Good.
You know what's funny? I wish there'd be a millionaire right? You didn't have to run for five different people. But if you guys ever get Sprint Car Midget, read an article about Shane Stewart and it says how the economy has changed it so you have to have a couple multiple rides to make a full schedule.
That's right.
Yeah.
It definitely has changed. You got to do it differently now than you did even as little as 6 or 7 years ago.
Exactly. It's a different thing. You know, there's very few. I'm actually kind of friends with the guy that owns the Leland's.com car, Hefner, and there's very few of him out there that can afford to do it or big guys like that, or like even the Chad who has Dwayne, and even they're cutting back to one night a week.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
Heinemann and stuff like that.
Isn't Mike looking for a ride for a driver in that 410?
Yeah, but I told him, I said that 2 years maybe I'll drive it. I ain't ready for that. You got to go in there and win races, and I need some lap time before I do that. I'm realistic about that. I think my stage is a little better.
You know, that's awesome to kind of know where you stand with things that, you know, you may have had an opportunity to do that and you said, hey, I'm not ready for it. That's actually pretty big of you to admit that. Most guys would just
well,
say, yeah,
what,
I can
I
do call, this.
What I called him, I went up and seen his collection of sports memorabilia because he's a friend of mine, and I told him, I says, I don't want to know who's racing your car. I said, I'm not even going to ask because I know I ain't ready for it.
Right.
So,
how about would you ever like to get in the seat of the Zemco?
Yeah, always wanted to drive the Zemco car. That's
that'd
one of the most famed cars out here, you know?
You know, because, I mean,
it's not too bad.
I've seen that Zemco. I mean, I remember Dad when he won Syracuse in the Zemco car. It was probably the greatest sprint car race I ever saw in my life.
I tell you what,
yeah.
when your dad ran Syracuse, I honestly don't know how he put his uniform over his balls because...
he was pretty good at Syracuse. He could wheel
Holy
that truck very, very well.
Crap. Man, was he getting it up there, man.
Exactly. He was impressive at Syracuse, and then he won the Race of Champions in '94. That was impressive too.
Yep. From dead last.
From dead last, exactly.
From dead last. That's
crazy.
Funny.
You know what's funny? I got to tell you a story. We were just talking about this the other day. My grandfather brought it up. We won a race at Big Diamond at Mike Dinatelli.
Yes.
And we were down a cylinder. And we were on water. He claims he wants to build a motor with water shooting into the cylinder walls because he swore we won the race because we were on water.
Wow.
My grandfather's got more stories than you can tell here, you know?
Yeah.
My guys are looking at me, Ronnie and Ronnie, right now, and they're shaking their head because they've heard every spin-in-the-wheel story and every godforsaken story you ever heard.
Yeah, I've seen your grandfather at the Friestown gas station getting gas one time, and he had a little towel and had something hiding underneath the seat.
Yeah.
The passenger. I'm like, what's up, Mr. Pouch?
Yeah.
Oh, my grandfather's a living legend. That's for
he
sure.
He is a living legend. He forgot about more stuff than most of us will ever know.
Absolutely.
So.
One night, I think we won a race, and he had to tell me everywhere I messed up, should I say, for the radio here, and I never got one compliment.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
There's a guy helped me move since I started racing, Ronnie. You know, and he helped my dad, helped my grandfather. So we're pouring carburetor we're pouring gas in the carburetor the other day. He looks right over. He goes, "I've known you for 50 years, and you're still screwing up. Didn't I teach you anything?" I couldn't believe he said it to him.
That is awesome.
I said, you gotta get a good laugh at stories like that. You know, that's what he's here for. He's a buster. That's for sure.
That's cool though.
Very good, man.
You were very fortunate enough to grow up with a pretty unique racing family there, that's for sure.
Exactly. Very, very, very neat experience here we got here. And there's always a mile a minute there, that's for sure.
Yeah, you have what I refer to as sperm equity.
Yeah.
There you have it.
There you go. I like that one, guys.
Wow.
I like that one.
Pretty good gene pool there.
That's it. Put that on the back for sure.
Put that in the proposal.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Wow.
But,
I have to say, probably the coolest shirt I ever bought was Billy Pouch Jr. shirt with Berkey's 54 midget on the back.
That's it. You never would have thought Berkey would have made a shirt.
Yeah. Never. I mean, I'm only a mud scraper, man.
That's it.
You know, and it was incredible.
I mean, oh man, that was a good one in itself there, you know?
Yeah. So
but,
is there a future, like maybe like next year maybe, going back out to Indiana Midget Week and trying to like do the whole swing?
I would love to do the whole swing. I always wanted to do the whole swing Indiana Midget Week. It just hasn't worked out yet. That's a cool-ass experience, and it's definitely worth the trip out there to see it, man. I want to go back out and do it again, definitely.
Cool.
So we're going to – 2013, you're going to go four-time sprint car racing, maybe a couple small-block, big-block gigs, and you're just going to concentrate pretty much on the open-wheel four-time sprint cars.
Yes, we're going to do a lot of that this year. That's going to be our main focus, and hopefully at the end of the year last year we had some success. We did pretty good at Susky there. We went good in our heat. We got second, and in the feature we struggled. We missed a little bit. I finished 11th, but then we jumped out of that, got into 358, went from 14th to 5th.
Yeah,
so,
what's that like getting from a 410 down to a 358? I mean,
big time difference, man. The power
yeah.
is unbelievable, you know, and it was funny. We ran Lincoln there, middle of October. Man, had a really wild car. We were coming forward pretty fast, and that setup we got written down for next year. I'm kind of excited to start with it again.
Good.
So awesome. everything's working out, and hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, I should have everything out, and we'll be ready to rock in 2013.
Kind of crazy, isn't it? It's coming up quick too, man. It's going so fast.
Time flies. Us here at the Pouch Garage are looking for a hat with a big A on it for Adam's lettering, but we're scared to wear it at Grandview. We might get swatted in the head, we hear.
Yeah, most people that wear my apparel usually get hit with rocks and bottles, so it just happens that way.
But if you,
well,
but
that's
if you,
usually it.
If you love the A will love you back.
This is true.
There you go. I like that one.
If you disrespect the A,
it could
you
take
not be able to find you.
It could take years to find the body parts.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I got to thank you guys. Are we still rolling? Or
yeah, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show here. A great bunch of information here. We got everybody up to speed here with what you got cooking for next year. You're going to be a very, very busy young man next year, that's for sure.
Of course, man. I'll always make sure to stop by and see the big A.
What time do you got to leave on Saturday to get to Lincoln?
What time do I got to leave on Saturday to get to Lincoln? We leave 2 o'clock. We usually stop, what is it, Brewster's for ice cream on 15.
Yeah.
And on the way home, we stop for Sheets Coffee.
Uh-huh.
Gotta
have it. And I'm looking at Ronnie right now, who's our saver. Then I usually fall asleep by about Kaufman's chicken there on 78. And then I got to make sure he is alive once in a while, you know?
Cool.
So hopefully we get a better system figured out, and we'll be all right, you know?
That is so awesome. Billy, all of us here at Lowdown and Dirty wish you the best of luck for the 2013 season. Tell Mom, Dad, and Sister we all said howdy, and we certainly wish them luck with everything that they got going on for next year as well. And you're going to be floating around the raceways here, so I'm sure we're going to see you somewhere.
I will see you somewhere here at Lowdown and Dirty. I'll pass the word. Thanks, guys.
Billy, we appreciate it very much. Thanks so much for being able to come on the show here tonight and chat with us.
Billy gets a clap before he goes.
Yes,
Billy
does get a clap. Billy gets
very,
a clap
very
there.
Very now, and you got the clap.
You got the clap.
Thank you. I'm glad I kept you guys amused for that long. So I'm sure I'll be talking to you, and we'll see you guys around the racetrack. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much, Billy. Enjoy
your race.
All right,
talk to you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good young man right there.
Awesome young man. Very diverse, driving talented young man. Mm-hmm. Got to drive anything, man. It's kind of crazy.
He put me in victory lane man. I'll never forget it.
That is so cool.
You know? And I mean, I watched his old man race, and it's just, it's amazing.
It's kind of crazy to think about all the things he's got going on next year. I mean, he's got a tight schedule, man. That is insane. And just the amount of work that goes into these cars during the week. I mean, it's not just showing up at the racetrack and put your suit and helmet on and going sideways. It's just unbelievable. So best of luck to Billy for 2013 season. He is running for some really, really cool people with David Bill Wilson there in the 410. And
I guess in a 410, you really don't get a chance to really nap.
No. You got to be up on it there.
Yeah, you know. So.
And again, we certainly wish them luck in the 23B and the Alan Jimmy Buley car there, too. So good people.
Hats off to Billy Potts. He's one of my I like that kid.
Good kid.
Mm-hmm.
Very well liked by everyone that's floating around here. Very nice, very approachable young man. If you ever get in the pit area where Billy's at, don't hesitate to stop by and say hi to him, man. He will always take a moment to chat with his fans, sign autographs. Just a cool dude. Oh, real cool dude.
Did we plug Grill on the Hill for the delivery service? Yeah.
I talked about it at the top of the show, and I didn't get to see Bounce personally when I was doing it. But, Bounce, I thank you so much. You and Jen did an awesome job here with this food.
I'm taking cookies with me.
It is. Hey. After I take my fair share.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there was other shows we did. We used to have to order. Nobody ever delivered food to us.
No. This is. There's. Yeah. I mean, he even brought official Grill on the Hill food containers. This is major.
Wow, this is huge. You know?
Unbelievable.
Bounce, want to be a sponsor?
Yeah, Bounce is now a sponsor. Yeah. As I said a little bit earlier when Billy was on, we do have Jeff Pfister in the house, and if we could talk to Jeff here for a moment.
Pfister!
Jeff, along with Jeff and Glenn Strunk, are actually going to be doing a little celebrity/guest bartending deal Saturday night. This coming Saturday, correct, Jeff?
Correct, yep.
Cheers Tavern, Bechtelsville, PA, or is that Bartow? I don't know.
It's in between. It's Eschbach.
Yeah, there you go. It's in Eschbach. What time does that start, Jeff?
We'll get behind the bar at 9.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to show up earlier. The bar's open.
Okay. And what can we expect? If we go back there, is there a cover charge? Is there anything to get in? What are you guys doing? Are you stripping? You're bringing out packs in.
Women stripping. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing there?
There's no cover charge, first of all.
Cool.
I'm not sure what the entertainment for the night will be besides the three of us trying to serve drinks behind the bar and run register. But
well, I think you're pretty much going to be the entertainment, my friend.
Yeah, well, I have some pretty good experience with it. So
good.
Yes, this isn't your first rodeo back there with that.
No. This will probably be about 8 or 9 times, 10 times I've done this.
You're a celebrity bartender.
Celebrity bartender.
Wow.
With no fire hydrants back there.
No hydrants, so it's safe.
Stay away from the hydrants.
It's safe.
No, see, you guys are actually going to be behind a bar, and if I come up to you and I say, hey, I want a beer or I want a mixed drink, you guys are going to serve it to me.
Absolutely. We are your bartenders for the night, along with Cheers regular Cindy that works there.
Yeah.
Got to have one expert there, you know, to help us out.
Well, since you're a 9-time person, I think you're pretty much the expert. Let me ask you this. As you're serving, will you take tips?
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. If you can take a tip, why not just take the whole thing?
Boom.
I look at it like this. If we weren't there, there'd be a regular Cheers employee working there.
Right.
So my tips... You know, we put them in a big bucket at the end of the night. I'm not looking for any money. I just want to have a good time.
Good deal.
You know, I don't want to take money out of somebody's pocket.
Yeah.
Just want to see a bunch of people out there, you know, have a great time. Bunch of Jeff fans, Glenn fans.
Mm-hmm.
So wear your
racing
Jeff
fans.
Pfister,
wear your apparel.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Wear
absolutely.
Shirt. Pfister Nation.
Pfister
Nation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still going to work on some stickers or something for that. But, yeah, it's a blast. Jeff and Glenn have both done it before, so they're no strangers to it. And they have a good time, and, you know, just come on out, joke around, have some drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. does this bar serve food?
They do. I'm not sure what's on the menu at this point anymore.
Okay.
I think they actually reduced their menu a little bit from what it used to be.
Gotcha.
But I think you can get, like, you know, hot dogs or chili dogs, and they have snacks and stuff there.
Okay, cool.
The road.
Yeah, grill on the hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So
Bounce said the grill on the hill will be open for anyone who wants to stop up beforehand.
All right. So they can go back there, maybe grab a little snack or something like that, and have either you or Glenn or Jeff Strunk serve them some alcohol and have a good time, talk about racing. I've been back to Cheers. I know they have a big screen TV, at least one of them, where they'd be showing, like, racing videos, or where they have some kind of race on or something like that. Just sort of, is that the atmosphere, or is just everybody just going to get blitzed and have a good time?
Pretty much the latter.
they do have a big screen there. I don't think they have any special events planned, you know, on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to be there to watch TV. And you're going to be there to
have a good time,
talk to, you know, a bunch of people from the racing community are coming out.
Sure.
Where's all the white women at?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something right now. Looking over all over the place back here, I ain't seeing nothing, man. You're so crazy up in here, yo.
It's all thoughts.
I mean,
talking about going around in a circle and stuff. That's crazy.
Why can't we just take the bar,
but, you know, they serve soda, of course, and water. And, you know, if you're not a big drinker or you're a designated driver,
yeah,
you know, just come out anyway. You know,
if you're a designated driver,
is there going to be a DJ?
Free soda?
Is there a DJ?
Usually on Saturday nights there is.
So they'll be dancing there as well.
They'll be dancing, absolutely. Come and shake it. Sometimes there's karaoke.
Oh, Bounce just informed us that he was there at Cheers Tavern this past weekend because Kenny Rogers and Jimmy Reed were the guest bartenders there that night. How did that get out of control? So you behaved yourself.
No, I'm not saying that.
He said it went very well. That's awesome. Now, are you going to be wearing anything special?
Sister Nation song?
I'm just putting it out there. I don't know if you had any kind of special attire to wear for this particular evening.
Yeah, he got that new Blewett Strunky shirt.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'll be wearing one of those.
No. No black and yellow. No
black
Steeler,
and yellow.
No Steeler Nation.
Yeah, I'm not trying to piss people off or anything like that. you know, if I wear a Steelers or a Penguins jersey, you know, I might not get...
you don't got to worry about the Penguins, pal.
Much of a tip for Cindy or whatever, so... but, yeah, there might be something special.
Cool, that'll be something.
Might wear something special for the occasion.
Well, there you heard it here first. Stop back and see Jeff and Glenn Strunk, along with Jeff Pfister here. And if you can't stop by for anything else, at least stop by to see what Pfister is going to be wearing.
If you've never been to Cheers before, the interior is pretty much racing motif. There's pictures, old and new, Grandview, a bunch of roofs up on the ceiling.
Yeah, roof panels, door panels, all kind of stuff in there.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great place. The atmosphere is fantastic, especially when you get a bunch of people from the races there, and you know,
should be a good time.
Good way to spend a Saturday night during the off season.
Yeah, so get on out there to Cheers Tavern Saturday night. You said 9 o'clock
today. Yeah, they're about. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around 9 o'clock or earlier if you want to grab a little bite to eat back there and have a blast with those guys. It should be a good time.
Yeah.
Speaking of beer bashes and those things going on, there's a lot of those coming up in the wintertime here, and I put it out on Facebook yesterday if anybody had any going on. And
did you get any hits?
I got one hit so far. I know that there's some cooking. Maybe some people didn't see it. But Sean Merkel is going to be having a beer bash on February 23rd at 7 o'clock at the Bechtelsville Firehouse, which is just right down the road here.
That's the night before Lincoln opener.
There you have it. So stop by, check out Sean, see what's going on there. These beer bashes are great for many reasons. Number one, it gets the racing people together in the middle of the winter time so we can all share stories and laugh and talk about what happened last year and all that kind of crazy stuff there. You get some good food, you get your drink on, you just have a blast, and the money raised, there's not a ton of money to be made at these things, trust me. I've known many people to have these things, but it all goes towards a racing effort. So you're helping out in a small way. So stop by again. That is February 23rd, 7 o'clock at the Bechtelsville Fire Company.
Man, Bechtelsville's popping.
Bechtelsville is popping. They have probably five or six beer bashes down there during the course of the winter.
Wow. You
know, a lot of things going on. So there'll be more. We'll be announcing them, and we will definitely announce this again when the time comes a little bit closer, but mark your calendars for that. Should be a great time. They're great people, great racing family there. So stop on by, have a good time. I'm not sure about how much the tickets are, though. I didn't get the scam on that.
I don't know
what the skinny is there. So
yeah, and if you're not doing that, you could go to Ryan Smith's Chili Bowl benefit at SNS Speedway.
There
you
go. You
got two things to do this Saturday, if you're, you know.
Cool.
Which is good. Racing season, it's a slow season.
Okay, bear with me one second here. Who's having a beer bash? Glenn Strunk and Rich Stankiewicz are having a beer bash. Do you have the date on that, Jeff? February
9th.
Bechtelsville Firehouse, again. Bechtelsville's the place to be.
The professor. He's still the professor, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's still the professor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the praying mantis.
Praying mantis.
He's a praying mantis.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a praying mantis?
Here he goes again.
Here we go.
He's getting all crazy up in here again.
Yeah, he's all legs, man. You know, and that's Quinn. He's all freaking legs and arms. You know, I call him a praying mantis. You know? Oh. But you know what? I guarantee you one thing for Glenn. He'll never go back out on that track without his belts being tight.
That's right.
He was walking a little funny, like he had a problem.
He was hurting.
Yeah.
He was hurting.
Did he lose his glasses that night when he clobbered out? If wow. Oh, because he clobbered that, yeah.
Bounce just said he was fixing to offer him some ice, but his beer would have got warm, so he didn't do it. That's nice of him. That's
You're a gentleman, Bounce.
That is a truth. That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like your liver.
Yeah. Hey, question for Bounce. Are we going to be back at Grandview for Grill on the Hill next year? Or same spot?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no other place to go.
Keep the shades down. That look better.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bounce Heimbach, the master chef of the Grill on the Hill.
The master chef.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks.
Yep. Man, if people don't know Bounce, I mean, after Saturday night racing, you could go right down to his little campsite area and a little donation of some cash, and he will feed you like there's no tomorrow.
If you walk away there hungry, it's your own fault.
Yep.
You got the best food, just awesome atmosphere, great people.
The night before the Sixer is incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty epic.
I mean, that's a big get together that you throw for everybody, and I just want to say thank you for that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's funny, you know, while the show's going on, your mouth's going a mile a minute. Now you got a mic in front of you, and now you don't talk.
And rumor has it you're going to Florida with Little Baby Bounce.
Little Baby Bounce is definitely going.
Little Baby Bounce here. I saw some photos from Syracuse.
Yes.
From a certain New York driver by the name of Matt Shepard.
Yep.
I think we've all heard of him. He had this little cartoon kind of cutout that had a striking resemblance to, well, you. And what's the story on that? Why was he with, or were you there? And why is little baby Bubba Bounce on the end of his
pole?
Pit rip?
Whoa.
Hey, Bounce has been on the end of a couple poles already, but this was a legit one.
Hey,
this
Whip.
Was the poll for the for the pit lane to mark the spot so the driver could see where to pull in at.
Well, I got to really know those guys when they come to the 76er because they got here the night before and we were still partying. So they came from Utica, I believe, or Canada, wherever they came from. And we stayed up and just entertained them or told them. Until they woke Mercy up to get into pits. And they sort of fell in love with that thing, and they called it their good luck charm or whatever they called it. So they inherited it. They took it with them, and they took it to Syracuse and made their pit stop sign out of it. And
you went to Charlotte. They went to Charlotte.
Yeah, they took it to Charlotte, and I got to get in the third championship victory photo.
Mm-hmm.
That
so,
yeah,
is so cool.
Little baby Bubba Bounce has been to more races than I have.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. Well, it's just a treat to have to go there every Saturday night. I mean, Grandview just rocks, and then you get to get good food, meet good people. Because all the racers come down. Not all of them, but a majority of them come down and just hang out and just socialize. And, a couple do enjoy a couple adult beverages.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my good friend Joey here, he made me a tour sign last year, and I think we got 77 drivers to sign that thing.
Which Bounce has been kind enough to donate that to us as a giveaway here for the radio show. We are going to have some kind of contest there. There are lots and lots of drivers that have signed that thing, and it would be great for anybody to have. So we're going to have some kind of contest here sometime at the beginning of next year and see where we're at with that.
Whatever happened to the late model?
Well, that's a long story.
All right.
Yeah.
We ain't got long enough.
No, we don't have enough time.
Okay. Not enough time? All right.
But, I just want to say this. I couldn't do it every Saturday night without the help of Jim Reed, because Jim Reed is the biggest supporter in that.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Reed
gets a clap.
Jimmy Reed.
I mean, what he supplies a race car to the racetrack and still helps me with the grill on the hill. So.
For those that don't know, Jim Reed is the owner of the number 611 small block modified that races at Grandview Speedway with driver Brad Grimm. So Jimmy's a great guy, has his own business down there in Gilbertsville, Reed's Auto and Truck Repair. Great guy, great supporter of Grill on the Hill, and glad to have him around, man. We like people like that. He keeps us all well-fed. Thank you, Jim.
He's the one who picks the menu.
Yes, he's the one that picks what I cook.
Yeah. Do you ever think you could have spaghetti and meatballs on a grill?
Only at the Grill on the Hill.
Only at the Grill on the Hill.
Well, I tell you what, we have a caller on the line here the last couple minutes of the show.
Uh-oh.
Here. Let's see who we got here. Hello, welcome to Lowdown and Dirty.
What's happening, Joey?
Hey, this is the Minister of Misinformation.
Is it?
It is. It is. I it's such a long name.
It's the new M&M.
Well, it's the new M&M. I shrunk it up. I now call him Rev Run. So I shrunk that down a little bit, too. So, but Benny's my man. Benny was down in North Carolina this past weekend with Jared Umbenauer.
Yeah, he was mingling with the big wheel.
He was mingling with the big wheels. And for the last couple of minutes of the show, I'd like for Ben to chat to us about that a little bit and let us know how you made out down there, bud.
Oh, I'll tell you, out of everybody he could have picked to go down, I was chosen to go down there with him. And I definitely understand now why we pay the money we do to get into the NASCAR license at Grandview every week.
It's a class act down there, isn't it, for that banquet?
They make everybody down there feel like they were a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't only him. Brad Brightbill and Craig Whitmore were also there.
Awesome.
As so was Chuck Schutz. And,
yes, we knew Chuck was going down. Yeah.
It's a once in a lifetime. Everybody, if anybody gets the opportunity to go along with one of these guys that gets in the finalist, or even as far as winning a state championship or winning the overall championship, they just do one heck of a job of making everybody feel, like they deserved it. So all the hard work on Saturday nights pay off. I mean, Friday morning there was I actually thought I was at the Grill on the Hill from Friday all the way till Friday at night. The food was it was good. I'm not sure if it was as good as the stuff that Bounce cooks, but the food was excellent. Just like at the Grill, you could eat as much as you wanted. It was a great time, great to meet people. It was neat to see how it was live on NASCARHometracks.com.
Mm-hmm.
To know that the president of NASCAR was there and presented the overall guy who won the nation championship with a NASCAR Whelen All-American ring with a diamond in it, and just the whole thing. It would be so neat to see around here a big diamond jump on board and go NASCAR sanction as well. It would give guys like Dwayne and Jeff and Craig, you know, to get into, you know, the higher money bracket and the higher recognition and the higher the places that's available. These guys are racing 40-some races a year at a NASCAR facility.
Right.
So it is kind of hard. I mean, Dwayne had a phenomenal year, and getting to the end of it, I guess, you know, it's when he got knocked down in the NASCAR standings. But if Dwayne could have had the year he had at Grandview plus, you know, a top two or top three in points and had a couple wins at Big Diamond, you know, who knows? That could have been the Dwayne that was the national champion.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to gain out of being sanctioned under the NASCAR banner.
You're
and
correct.
It's something that everybody should get to see at least once.
Right. I agree with you. Our guys are at a little bit of a disadvantage here because they're not getting quite
as many
shows.
There's only one track.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's really tough. And our guys are always very well represented locally here. We should be very proud of that we get to see these guys race every week. But having an extra track would really take us up over the top. It would be awesome for us.
It would put our guys up to the top.
Eons
above.
Absolutely.
And you know, the thing is, you know, and Chuck and Craig, Brad, and Jared, they all got the same thing. They presented them with all these awards.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Bergren and Mike Joy hosted the award ceremony in the morning, and they also hosted the award ceremony in the evening. And in the morning, as soon as they checked in, they all got pretty nice jackets, had the NASCAR Whelen logo on it. And then they all got their driver's racing gloves, and they had their initials in them. They got race shoes.
Cool.
And then at the evening when they got up on stage there, they had everybody got a plaque. Now, of course, you know, the guys who were up in the upper tier, you know, some of those guys who won the state championships like Jeff did a few years ago. I mean, they got a racing suit. Guys got helmets. I mean, it was just a very neat experience. The 6.5-hour trip to get there and get back home was
well
worth it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell you I'd do it again, but I really – it seems that they did this in the same weekend as Indy. I had plans to go to Indy, and I got the ticket, so my plans changed for North Carolina. But if next year I'll let you go in my place, Joey, I want to go check out Indy.
Cool. Well, listen, Ben, we really appreciate you giving us a recap on that, and you are one of the few fortunate ones to get down there and experience it. And I congratulate you and Jared and the rest of the team there on a fine job for the entire season. And thanks for getting us up to speed here. Unfortunately, we are out of time here. We're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. And, Ben, we appreciate you calling in. And thank you so much for sharing your story about your North Carolina trip and how well NASCAR took care of you.
Not a problem. And don't eat all Bounce's food. Make sure there's some there when we get to come back in-house here.
Oh, yeah. Bounce will hook us up again. We'll be set to go.
It's every week now, man.
Yeah. Ben, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in, my brother, and I'll be chatting with you real soon, bud.
All right, thanks, Joey.
All right, take care. You too, buddy. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks, Ben, but that's not good news right there.
We just got some news handed to us here, and we only have a couple minutes left on the show, but we need some thoughts and prayers for Glenn Borger. He's currently in ICU at Lehigh Valley. He suffered a fall yesterday. I don't want to get into too much detail there, but Glenn Borger is the owner of Borger Speedway. So let's keep him in our thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely.
And hopefully he has a speedy recovery and he can get back at it as soon as humanly possible. So
yeah. I know Mr. Borger a long time. That's
yeah.
sad.
That is sad.
And
so,
he's got a pacemaker put in too.
Wow. So hopefully it's all going to work out for the best. So we wish him a speedy recovery. Prayers and thoughts for him. We thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Billy Pouch Jr., awesome interview. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
Again, best of luck for you and your entire teams in the 2013 season. Eric Whitby in the house. Thank you for coming by. Bounce Heimbach in the house. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for the food.
Bounce.
Thank you, Jen Heimbach.
Thanks
for
a lot,
all
Jen.
You do.
Thanks, Mama Bounce.
Jeff Pfister, thanks for coming in and chat with your deal there. Everybody's good.
Passing the clap out.
Man, we got clap everywhere. So
Thanks,
everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Big Diamond, for putting a shout-out for us today on the Internet, on Facebook. We gained a ton of new likes. Thanks for making everybody aware of what's happening. I do apologize again for our issues in the beginning of the show. We're working feverishly to take care of that. On that note, I want everybody to have a great night. We will see you next week.
Peace out.
805, Low Down and Dirty. Thank you very much and enjoy your evening. Good night.
Good night.